Good morning. Today's Daf and Nazir, Chaf Gimel. We are starting with the Mishnah on the top of Chaf Gimel and Aleph, and today's going to be a lighter Daf. We're going to be, we've gone through a number of challenging sugyas regarding the technicalities of counting, how to count. But today's Daf is going to be a little bit lighter. We're going to be talking a lot about Kavanah today. Kavanah to do a mitzvah, Kavanah to do a veira, and Kavanahs that exist in between. Okay, well, let's start with the Mishnah. Aisha Shenadra Menazir, Aisha Shosu Bi'ana Metama. So a woman makes a neder, she's going to be a nazir, and she's just not good. She's not good at this naziris. And she's drinking wine, she's metam lamesim. So she's going to receive malchus. Yesterday, the Gemara quoted this Mishnah, and the Gemara noted yesterday, it's a devar pashut. We haven't said anything which is radical. For a moment, the Gemara suggested, maybe we're talking about where the husband did a hafara already, and a question of whether or not Megi's Gaius or Ma'akar Akar. Go back to yesterday's daf for an understanding of what that means. Anyway, but we could just read the Mishnah Kepshuta, which is, the Gemara noted, that's basically how you're supposed to read the Mishnah, the way I just presented it. And that is that when a woman makes a neder to be a Nazir, and she's not good about it, and she willfully violates the Surim of Nazirus, so she's subject to the Onshim. It's really straightforward. Now, hefer la bala vehilo yadash hefer la bala v'aisa shosu b'yayinu matam lemesim, eino sofeges esar abayim. However, let's say that the husband does a hafara, and she doesn't know about it, meaning she didn't hear about it, and she's drinking wine, she's matam lemesim, so now she's not going to be subject to onshim. Because despite the fact that she didn't know that she wasn't doing an avera, okay, I know that's confusing, but if you're following me carefully, she didn't know she wasn't doing an avera. She thought she was doing an avera. Nevertheless, she wasn't doing the avera. The reality is that the husband was mefer, and therefore she wasn't a nazira. So therefore, in a sofeges sarabim, she's not going to get malchus. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imein a sofeges sarabim, tisbog malchus mardus. And so Rabbi Yehuda says, fine. I'm not going to disagree with you about the malchus medaraisa. Meaning, you're right. The hafara, it erases the Naziris, and so therefore she didn't do an Avera, but she was thinking about doing an Avera, and for that, Rav Yehuda says that she should get Makas Marjus, she should get a Makas Midrabanan. So numerous times throughout Shas, so we learn together, that the Chachamim feel that certain behaviors, even though they don't reach the threshold of receiving a Makas Minatara, but that behavior is just simply not good. And so therefore the Chachamim impose, they have the right to do so, various corporal punishments in order to curtail certain behaviors. And this, according to Rav Yehuda, would be one of them. Okay, and presumably, in other words, it seems to be that Rav Yehuda is arguing with the Tanakhama, right? I think I'm presenting the Mishnah correctly, and that the Tanakhama does not advocate over here to give Makas Mardus, and Rav Yehuda does. And it could be a machlokus amongst the Tanaim whether or not there should or should not be Makas Mardus. Tana Rabbanan.
What about before Hafara?
Let's leave out Megas Gaius. In other words, that's yesterday's discussion. Let's leave it out. Before Hafara, so it's an Avera. It's an Avera. Now, she'll get Malchus, meaning if let's say she did it before the Hafara, but then the Hafara was done, so then ostensibly that would be enough Kamina, whether or not Me'akar Akar or Megas Gaius, right? The Gemara didn't say that, but presumably that would be true. That if I subscribe to Megas Gaius, so then she should get Malchus. If I subscribe to Megas Akar, she shouldn't get Malchus. Presumably. But I'm thinking out loud, and, you know, I run the risk of being right, and then, of course, not being right. Tana Rabbanan. Isha hafiram v'Hashem yisach la. So here the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, the Pasuk in Matos, which we've seen again and again. And that is that when the husband does hafara, Akash Baruch will provide slicha. And beisha sheifa labala vihilo yada kasam adabish itzricha kapar slicha. So now let's think about the pasuk, and the Gemara is doing exactly that. Meaning, how could it be that the husband does hafara, which means that there's no neder there? The hafara erases the neder, and meanwhile Hashem has to provide slicha. Well, why? Why? So the Gemara goes on to explain. In other words, exactly. So in other words, the husband did hafara, but she didn't know. And so she requires kapar v'slicha, meaning that she thought she was violating her neder. In reality, she didn't. She didn't violate her neder, but she thought she was doing so. As a result of that, she needs slicha v'kapar. And Rabbi Akiva got to this pasuk and he was crying. So we see a lot of emotion throughout Shas by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva laughing, Rabbi Akiva crying. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva So the Gemara was not at all timid in sharing with us that Rabbi Akiva got emotional with various psukim. And when he got to this pasuk, he would cry, "Umam mishin skaven la'alos biyad abasa chazir v'ala biyad abasa tleh ta'un kapar slicha ham iskaven la'alos biyad abasa chazir ala biyad abasa chazir alachas kama v'kama." So Rabbi Kiva made a kav v'chomer. Somebody who intended to do an avera, even though they didn't end up doing an avera, and such an individual requires slicha v'kapara. Somebody who intends to do an avera and does the avera for sure should require slicha v'kapara. Okay, so in other words, the magnitude of doing a chait and the repercussions, and just for thinking of doing an avera, so there is a requirement of slicha v'kapara. You need to do tshuva. Rabbi Kiva says, imagine you're not just thinking about doing the avera, but you actually do the avera. The Gemara says, look, a person's chote b'shogeg, right? Nevertheless, a nasava no, and he has to he's got a burden to carry. So ma mishne skaven la'alos biyad abasa tlev ala biyad abasa chazir. So the Gemara gives number of examples. So let's say, for example, he has a kavana titla. Titla is permissible. You're allowed to, right? It's whatever. Tlam. And meanwhile, what happened was is that you bought the wrong meat. And chaticha. Kagon. I'll give you another example. Chaticha safi shoshem and safi shalchelev. Let's say you have a piece of meat, and I don't know whether it's shuman or chelev. Shuman, the permissible fat of an animal. Chelev, the prohibited fat of an animal. And I don't know which one I ate. I'm a krav, a nasav, a no. And nevertheless, the Torah says, that's a burden. And a nasav, a no, it's an avon, it's a sin. So, mishin is kavan la biyada basar chazir, and va la biyada basar chazir, alachas kama v'kama. So imagine now for the person who not only thinks about doing the aver, but actually does the aver as well. Similar idea. Isi ben Yehuda amer v'lo yada v'ashim and nasav, a no. Isi ben Yehuda darshan slightly differently. The pasuk says that he didn't know he's guilty, and v'nasav no. Mi umash mishin is kavan la'alos biyad abasa tlev ala biyad abasa chazir. So the first example, identical. In other words, you thought you were buying kosher meat, you end up buying non-kosher meat. Again, your kavana was, you didn't have a kavana to do an avera. Ukegon shechati chosach shochel v'ach shoshuman. Or it's a piece of fat, but you don't know whether it's chelav or shuman. I'm sorry. Isi ben Yehuda is shtei chatichos. They're two pieces of fat, one of chelav and the other of shuman. V'nasav v'nom. So nevertheless, the Torah says that it's an avon. So hamitzkavin la'alos biyad abasar chazir ala biyad abasar chazir lachas kama v'kama al davizeh yidvu hadivuyim. So Isi ben Yehuda, same conclusion. His examples are slightly different, but the same conclusion. And that, nevertheless, despite the fact that you may have violated the Avera, you may not have violated the Avera, imagine when a person goes out of his way, not only contemplating doing the Avera, but actually doing the Avera, Salachas Kama V'Kama. And the Gemara ends off, Isi Ben Yehuda Al-Davrezeh Yidvu Hadvoyim. So in other words, this is good, this is cause for stress and anxiety. Meaning this is a correct source of stress and anxiety that a person does an avera. Okay, you're a sachet. The basic idea over here is that, and that certainly is the theme of Rabbi Kiva and Isi ben Yehuda and every brisa that we quote up until this moment in time, and that is that we have to have you're a sachet, meaning that the idea that we're going to violate an avera and go against Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Gemara spending time, obviously precious real estate of the Gemara, to talk about this idea that we need to really take into account, right, the ramifications of our actions. V'chol hani lamali. Okay. Now the Braisa went over numerous examples of where, right, an aver was not actually done. And the Gemara is going to go in its classic style of why go over every one of these permutations. So tzrich indeed tanagabi isha. Let's first start off with the example of Isha. The example of Isha is where the husband was made for her neder. So she wanted to violate an neder, but she didn't actually violate the neder. So over there, I can understand slicha v'kapara, because what's her kavana? Her kavana is that I'm going to be violating my neder. Now, Lamaisa, she didn't violate her neder because the husband went ahead and just pulled the neder right underneath her. But her kavana, she didn't know that, and her kavana was to violate her neder, and that was already from the beginning. But in the case of, I have a piece of fat, and I don't know if it's chaylev or shuman. So over there, the kavana was not to do an avera. Okay? I just wasn't careful. But the kavana was not to do an avera. So over there, the Torah then has to go out of its way to tell me that's also cause for slicha v'kapara. And then we'll just simply invert. We'll go in the other direction. In the case of the fat where I don't know if it's chilev or I don't know if it's shuman, so over there, okay, but at least over there, in such a case, there's a possible isser there. In other words, there's real isser that's possibly there. In the case of the woman, there is no isser. The husband was made for the neder. Her kavana is at fault, but there actually is no isser over there. So that's why I need the case of the isha, even if I had the case of the chelev. The eat mahani tarti. Now, if I had these two, hava min hani tarti de sagalon bekapara slicha, de lo ikva isura. So in those two cases, I would think slicha vekapara, meaning that you should do tshuva and you should ask Akash Baruch Hu for forgiveness. Okay. But when it comes to where I have two pieces in front of me, one chaylev, one shuman, and without giving it a lot of thought, I just take one of the pieces and I eat it, not knowing which piece that I ate. So over there, that's worse because there's mamish iser right in front of me right now. And I'm not careful about which one I took. So under those circumstances, you would think, okay, that's really bad. It's so bad that that's slicha v'kapara, tshuva, karbanos, nothing's going to help you at that point in time. So kamash malan deloshna. So the Gemara says, no, even in such a case, so there's eligibility for tshuva, for slicha v'kapara, and over there, karban, right? By the way, the karban, I never articulated this, but now it's not too late. In other words, the karban under those circumstances would be an asham talui. Right, the possibility of doing an avera, and right, there's suffix chalev in front of you, and therefore you violate an avera. So you possibly violated an avera. So the carbon ashem talui, mesechta dedicated to the discussion of a carbon ashem talui. Not for now. Okay. This is really going to be the preamble to today's daf. The entire daf today, the entirety of today's daf is going to be all a discussion regarding kavana. Meaning that when a person has intention, right intention, wrong intention, so that is going to be significant. Obviously, the action itself. Sorry. Obviously, the action itself is always going to be the representation of the kavana. But as we're going to be discussing over the course of today's daf, kavana becomes very important. Akash Baruch Hu obviously knows what your kavana is. Right? Other people don't know what your kavana is, but Akash Baruch Hu does. And the significance of kavana, that is going to be really the entire point that the today's daf revolves around. And again, the seed that germinated the whole discussion is going to be our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, so what do we say? We said that in a case where a woman violates her neder, but her husband was already made for the neder, so the Mishnah says, okay, she's not going to get Malkus. Rabbi Yehuda says she'll get Malkus Mardus, but she's not going to get Malkus. Okay, but meanwhile, she did intend to violate her neder, so that is the starting point. And from there, now going forward, for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to be talking about intention and Akadosh Baruch Hu's consideration of intention. And the point, by the way, in other words, I'm going to say this at the end of today's daf, but let's say it right now, and that is that when Akadosh Baruch Hu considers your intention, that's going to be very significant in terms of Schar V'Onesh, meaning Akadosh Baruch Hu takes your intention into account. It's really that simple. So we start with the pasuk in Hosea. So Yisharim Darchei Hashem, the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are Yashar. They are correct. Tzadikim Yachubam Poshim Yikashlu Bam. And as far as the Tzadikim is concerned, so they'll walk in those ways. And as far as Poshim are concerned, so that are Rishayim, so Yikashlu Bam, they are going to stumble on that way. Okay, so here's the dilemma, here's the puzzle. It's almost like a riddle. Give me an action where it could either qualify as a mitzvah or could qualify as an avera. Like how does that come to be? So that's what the Gemara is going to do. Mashal shnei bnei adam shetzalos pitzchayim, two people who are roasting the Korban Pesach, echad achlushu mitzvah v'achad achlushu machila gasa. So you have two families side by side, right in Yerushalayim, right on the night of Pesach, after having shechted the Korban Pesach earlier that afternoon. So they're roasting the Korban Pesach, and so one family now saved up their stomach, did not eat the entire day, right? Sat down that evening to enjoy the Korban Pesach, right? Not only to enjoy the Korban Pesach, but to fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach. Now the other family, so what were they doing? They were fasting the whole day, right? They were enjoying, who knows what they were eating the whole day, matzah balls and whatever other delicacies that filled up their stomach. And then when they got to the Korban Pesach that night, so they were stuffed. Okay, but there's a mitzvah to Korban Pesach, but they were stuffed. So, Echad achlu l'shum achila gasa. And the Gemara's commentary over here is that zesh achlu l'shum mitzvah tzadikim yachlu bam, v'zesh achlu l'shum achila gasa poshim mikashlu bam. Okay, so, here we have two people side by side doing the same thing, and for one it's a mitzvah and the other one it's an avera. Okay?
These are external things, though. Like you don't, unless it's a subjective thing as to halagasa. You and I can look at someone if they're eating something that's halagasa.
Okay, in a moment, we'll discuss a little bit more about the achilagasa. So, but let's go. Let's first go through the back and forth in Gemara. So, Amarle Reish Lakish Reish Lakish is Rav Yochanan. Hi, Rasha Karisle. So, Nihid Lo Kavin Mitzvah Min Amufchar. So, Pesach Mi Akavan. So the Gemara, so Reish Lakish is basically not happy. He's not happy with Rav Yochanan's example, meaning he agrees with the idea. Well, the idea is a pasuk anavi, nothing to disagree with. But the example that's provided by Rav Yochanan is that, look, the person who ate achila gasa, so fine. So not good. Okay, good. So labeling it not good is much different than labeling it a posheya. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah of achilas Pesach. Good. Meaning that part's true, but the mamish called him a posheya. So Pesach mia ka'avid, and Reish Lakish and Tosos sits on this line of Reish Lakish. You know, ultimately he did eat the Korban Pesach. Okay, take a look at Tosos over here. Pesach mia ka'avid, mashma da'achila gasa shma'achila. So Tosos over here, Tosos writes this in a couple of places. Right, I'm thinking the Gemara Pesachim. Right there in the beginning of the 10th parak. Anyway, so so Tosos says that, look, what did Reish Lakish just say? Even though it's achila gasa, even though you're stuffed, but okay, knew you ate the Korban Pesach. So v'kashta de peperek basur diyom akamin ha'ochel achila gasa b'yam ha'kippur and poter delosh ma'achila. And Tosos is bothered because we have a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says is that, let's say you're stuffed. When are you stuffed in Yom Kippur? We all know the answer, right? Kol Nidre. Right, so what just happened before Kol Nidre? So we sat down and basically we loaded up. And so now what happens if the Gemara says is that you ate, you decide to eat, right at the onset of Yom Kippur, you decide you eat. And at that point in time, you are stuffed. Your tank is full. So the Gemara in Yuma says that you are going to be pater, meaning that it's not a violation of Yom Kippur because that's not achila. The issur in Yom Kippur is achila. You have to eat on Yom Kippur in order to violate Yom Kippur. And over here, that's not achila. So over here, Tosus is stuck between two Gemaras. Our Gemara over here says that achila's Korban Pesach in the state of achila gasa is considered achila. It's not the best. You didn't do it properly, but it's achila. And meanwhile, the Gemara in Yom Kippur says that no, mamish, it's not achila. So Rabbeinu Tam, I'd say a famous Rabbeinu Tam. We'll make it famous. We'll try to make it famous. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the trei inyan echilas gasas yesh. Va'udi yuma kegon shenafsho katze ba'achila. Mirov savo. Va'achir shenafsho katze ela shenu ra'iv la'achol ha'te'avon. So there are two types of achila gasa. There's achila gasa where basically I'm full, but you know what? I'm going to eat anyway. And then there's achila gasa where I'm stuffed. And right now, eating anything more would disgust me. So the latter is not an achila at all. The former, it's still an achila. Okay. So Rabbeinu Tam differentiates between different types of achila gasa, and that is how he's miyash of the two Gemaras. There is a lot more to discuss on this particular topic, but Rabbeinu Tam is a starting point for a discussion. And good, I introduced everyone to Rabbeinu Tam. So, Reish Lakish is unhappy with the example of Rav Yochanan, so what does Reish Lakish have to do? Obviously, he's got to give another example. We're starting with the Pasuk in Hosea. The Pasuk in Hosea needs an example of how tzadikim yechubam, So new, let's give an example. So Reish Lakish. Ela mashal shnei bnei adam ze ishto v'achos yimo, v'ze ishto v'achos yimo. L'zen nizdam no lo ishto, l'zen nizdam no lo achoso. Zesh nizdam no lo ishto tzedik miyachu bam. V'zesh nizdam no lo achoso, poshim mikashto bam. So I could put side by side a man living with two women. One is his wife and the other one is the sister. For the first man, so he's with his wife, he's intimate with his wife, and for the other man, he's intimate with his sister. So that is an example of Sadiqim Yachubam versus Poshim Kashlubam. So the Gemara says that example of Reish Lakish also. It's not a great example in terms of the Pasuk. Midami anan kamina chada derech hachishnei derachim. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The Pasuk in Hosea is describing where two people are going down the same exact pathway, the derech, and one is a tzaddik and the other one is a poshea. Over here, one sleeping with his wife and the other one sleeping with his sister, those are two different people. Okay, so again, the example outside of the Pasuk is good, but in terms of confirmation to the Pasuk, it's no good. So we need an example that really fits into the Pasuk. So this is our third try already. Ella mashal lo tishtei b'no savimo. So hein niskav no shem mitzvah, tzadikim yachubam, hush niskav no shem aver, poshim yachashlubam. So the Gemara is going to land on the following example, a historical example, and that is Lot and his two daughters. The two daughters, we all know the story. So the two daughters got their father drunk, and The two daughters got the father drunk, and the Gemara says that the father was the one who's a poshea, Lot's a poshea, and meanwhile the daughters are tzaddikim. Their kavana was l'shem mitzvah. They thought that the world was depleted of any kind of population. They thought it was their responsibility to repopulate the earth. So they were l'shem mitzvah, right or wrong? That was l'shem mitzvah. On the other hand, Rachel, one second. On the other hand, Lot was l'shem avera. Now, in the psukim themselves, do we see that Lot was l'shem avera? So no, we don't see that. And as the Gemara is going to note in just a moment, not only that, but he was drunk. All this is going to be discussed in the Gemara. But meanwhile, it was super, super interesting that here we have now the singular act of Lot being with his daughters, obviously, you know, one at a time, one night after the other. But in other words, you can say this on either time, meaning in each of the acts, the daughters were l'shem mitzvah, therefore it's tzaddikim, and Lot was l'shem avera, therefore poshea. Okay, yes.
Yeah, he was drunk. Was against
the Gemara is going to ask that question.
The
Gemara is going to ask that question as well. Okay, good. It's all coming up, right? The information has to be unfolded, so we're going to do it. We're going to go through it.
Why did you say that Lot had the same output as his daughters?
Without the Gemara, we could have said that the Gemara is going to have a different take, the Gemara is going to support, but the Gemara has a very clear take on the episode. Okay, so now. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we start off, right? Everyone here made the suggestions. The Gemara now is going to follow through with a lot of follow-up questions. And that is number one, how do you know what Lot's Kavana was? Maybe Lot's Kavana was L'Shem Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan called Pasuk Zeh Al Shem Avera Namar. So Rabbi Yochanan says, a careful, critical reading of the Pasuk will tell you that that Lot was L'Shem Avera. Okay, and we do this all the time, meaning that sometimes you have to read between the lines, you have to read into the words, there's encoding. And so Rav Yochanan over here is going to give us the decoder for the encoded Pasuk. So the Pasuk says, Vayisa Lot. So other examples of the word Vayisa, and you'll see clearly what the Kavana was for the Vayisa. For example, Vatisa Ishas Adonav Vesaynaha. So that's Eishes Potiphar, who takes a look at Yosef. And we certainly know that her kavana was not L'Shem Mitzvah. And read the next words. Don't read the next words. Okay, anyway. Okay. I'll skip. So the, Kihi Yishara Be'inai. So, Shimshon, right, wants to marry one of the Plishtim. And ki shara be'inai, right? She's good in my eye. So, okay, right? And by the way, okay, fine. Let's just leave it at that. Vayar, vayar so shchem, ben chamor, meaning even the word vayar, right? That's used in connection to Lot, right? The pasuk balot vayisa Lot es einav. So far, we saw the word vayisa is l'shem znus, and we saw the word einav is l'shem znus, right? We saw that by Shimshon, and now we're looking at the word vayar, the pasuk. Again, I'm going back to the pasuk in Bereishis. Vayisa Lot es einav. Vayar is called kikar yaden kikula mashke. So now we're dunning on the word vayar. So vayar soshchem ben chamor. So an example of vayar where clearly the intention was avera, shchem, dina. It's called kikar hayardain. That is back to Lot. And the Gemara now darshins. Ki ba'ad isha zona, ad kikar lachem. Pasuk in Mishle, talking about a zona, that self-evident. Meaning that's clearly znos. Ki chula mashke. Again, that's the pasuk by Lot. And the Gemara darshins, with the pasuk in Hosea. Elcha achare me'avai nosnei lachmiya me'mai, tzamri upishti, shamni, vishiku yai. So again, the word mashke from the word intoxication, meaning that the kavana over here was for znus. Okay, so Rav Yochanan says that a careful reading of the pasuk regarding Lot tells us that his kavana was all l'shem znus. So v'hamein asanis, the Gemara says, okay, but wasn't he drunk? So tana mishum Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Choni. Okay, so look at the Sefer Torah. Okay, and the Chumashim also, they have it, but in other words, look at the Sefer Torah. Now, we know in the Sefer Torah there are no nekudos. So, and how do we vocalize? We vocalize based on the Masorah, based on the tradition that's given. But meanwhile, there are a couple of notations in the Torah. Dots, letters turned upside down. And so those are all obviously symbols and with meaning. So over here, if you look at the word uvkuma in the Torah, meaning opening up a Sefer Torah, and you'll see that over the word uvkuma, we have dots. What do those dots represent? So uvkuma shebechira, lomer shebeshchiva lo yada, vabekuma yada. So in other words, what he didn't know is that, in other words, he was so drunk when they initially had relations, so that part he didn't know. But by the end of the evening, when he got up, so at that point in time, he had enough sobriety where he knew what happened. So the Gemara says, "Am I have a lemevit?" Okay, good. So he knew what happened. But in other words, that goes back on what happened the night previously. So in other words, but at that point in time, the Gemara readily admits that he was already drunk. All right, I was about to say he was as drunk as Lot, which, you know, right. In other words, the Gemara has that expression, right? Shikur shalot, right? You're so drunk, you have no idea what you're doing. In other words, you're as drunk as Lot. So over here, the metaphor is, you know, It's on Lot himself. So anyway, so my dahava hava, the Gemara says, okay, but even if he was sober in the morning, or sober enough in the morning that he knew what happened, so what? So the Gemara says, nafkamina delapana achrina lo yibay lemishtechamra. So the Gemara says, okay, but for the next night when they invited him to drink again, so in other words, at that point in time, he should have said no. So that by virtue of the fact that he didn't say no, so that now will hold him culpable for the second night, and what sounds like from the Gemara, retroactively hold him culpable for the first night as well. Okay, so the Gemara now a number of points, and that is the kavanah of Lot, and the sobriety of Lot, and even though the psukim do a reasonable job in hiding the fact that his kavanah, the Torah doesn't describe his kavanah, the Torah does seem to give him a pass because he's drunk, but the Gemara over here in today's daf gives him no passes whatsoever, right? And not on his kavanah. And not on how intoxicated he is. Darish Rava Maidichsev Ach Nifsha Mikirasos. Another pasuk in Mishle. So the pasuk over here not being descriptive about who it's talking about, but there is a brother who's a posheya, and umijanim kebriach armon. And what he does is that basically he creates a locked doorway between him and his brother as a result of the action. And the Gemara darshins this pasuk. Rava darshins the pasuk. Ach nifshah mikirasos. We're on the top of the Amud Beis. Zelot. Shepirish me Avraham. So that the ach over here is a reference to Lot, who separates from Avraham. And umijanim kibrich armon. Shehitil mijanim kibrichim varmon. So lo yavo amonimo v'yibakal Hashem. And so what happens now is that not only does he create division between him and Avram, historical division between him and Avram. Generations later, so they are not going to be one with the other. In other words, we have an Isser in the Torah of Lo Yavo Amonim Moavi Bekal Hashem. Any male who comes from Amon and Moav is not allowed to marry within the Jewish people. So in other words, that this division that existed between the generations that come from Lot for the generations that come from Avram, so that's all a result of Lot's action of creating that period, creating that separation. Right? The Ramban on Chumash over there in Parshas Kiseitse. So he notes it seems to be harsh, meaning the idea that Ammon and Moab are going to be historically going to be forever prohibited to marry to the Jewish people. So the Ramban says right as one of the explanations. There are many explanations, but the Ramban says that when the Jewish people went to Moab and asked them for water, were food and water, and they said no. So the Ramban says what that was is that it was a lack of Hakar Satov. Meaning the only reason why Moab exists as a nation is because Avram saved Lot. Meaning Lot was gonna die in Sodom together with all the Anshei Sodom and Avram Davin and the Zchus of Avram. So Lot was saved. The Malachim came and extracted Lot from his Sodom all because of Avram. So in other words, you're a nation. And your entire existence is all due to one person. And now the children of that one person are coming over to you and asking, no, can you give us some bread? Can you give us some water? And they say no. So the Ramban says that's such an act of, such a lack of Hakar Satov. So the Torah is gonna, the Akash Baruch Hu is going to be not forgiving in terms of not allowing them to marry into the Jewish people. Anyway, the Ramban on Chumash. Okay. Darish Rava Vitem Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay, we are towards the top of Chav Gimel Amid Beis, four lines down. So Rava continues the darshan, or alternatively, it's Rabbi Yitzchak. The pasuk says, "My dichsiv l'sava yivakesh nifrad v'chol toshia yitgala." So now the Gemara is going to darshan the pasuk of Mishlei l'sava yivakesh nifrad because of Lot's taiva. So therefore, he created purity, separated. So v'chol, I'm sorry, zelot. So that's a description of Lot. Uvichol Toshia or Tushia Yisgala, Shinizgala Klona Bevati Knesus Bevati Medrashos. Did none Amon and Moavi Asurim V'Isurim Yisur Olam. And as a result of that, so that is going to be broadcast for generations in the future. A Mishnah Yivamos, right? We learned the Mishnah not so long ago. Great Tosos over here. Tosos says Uvichol Toshia Yisgala. It's going to be broadcasted where in Shuls in the base Medrash. Tosos writes. Meaning in shuls where we're going to be reading Chumash, that's Torah Shebichsav. And in that, we're going to read the Pasuk of Lo Yavo. Right? So that is Torah Shebichsav. And also, and what's going to happen in the Beis Medrash? That's where we're learning Torah Shebaal Peh. That's where we're going to be learning the Mishnah Yevamos. So in other words, you can find yourself in Shul, you can find yourself in the Beis Medrash. I just like Tosos organized over here. Right? In Shul's, what are we doing? Torah Shebichsav. In Beis Medrash, what are we doing? Torah Shebaal Peh. So it doesn't matter whether you go to Shul, whether you go to Beis Medrash, you're going to hear again and again, Moav and the ramifications of what Lo did and that Moav is not allowed to enter into the Jewish people. Okay. Amar Ula. Okay. More today. On Kavanas. Amar Ula Tamar Zinsa, Zimri, Zimri Zina. Okay, so we're going to do a side-by-side comparison of Tamar and Zimri. So Tamar, we're all familiar, that was the daughter of Yehuda, daughter-in-law, sorry, of Yehuda. And Zimri, so Zimri was an Asi of Sheva Shimon. And they both committed Znus. And meanwhile, okay, that's where... That's where the comparison ends. Tamar zinsa and yatsamim and malachim unavim and zimr zina and nafal of kama rivavos mi yisrael. So the znus of Tamar. So that was l'shem mitzvah, meaning that she knew that Shelah grew up and Shelah wasn't going to be given over to her, and she wanted to be the progenitor of Yehuda, and also right the mitzvah of Yibum, which Yehuda himself. Told the second brother, right? You have a mitzvah Yibam to do. Anyway, all of Tamar's actions were l'shem mitzvah, l'shem shemayim. And so therefore, right, externally it looks like an act of znus, But in other words, the kavana over here is that it was l'shem mitzvah, and therefore what came out from her? Malachim came out from her, Nevi'im came out from her, right? Tosfos fills in the blank over here. So as far as the Malachim are concerned, so Rus, which obviously is the matriarch of David HaMelech. As far as Nevi'im are concerned, so Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu's father was Amatzia, right? The Gemara, Yeshayahu's father was Amotz, and the Gemara says that Amotz and Amatzia were brothers. Amatzia was one of the kings of the Jewish people. Anyway, right, see the Gemara in Megillah. Point is that because of Tamar's Kavana, so therefore she's the progenitor of Malachim and Nevi'im. As far as Zimri's concerned, so he was not L'shem Mitzvah. Right, Zimri Zina, Nafal Olav, Kama Rivivos Mitzvah. Right, 24,000 Jews died as a result of the actions of Zimri. In other words, it was not L'shem Mitzvah. Continuing, Amrav Nachmar Yitzhak Gedola Aver L'shma Mimitzvah Shalol L'shma. So an Aver that's done, but for the right reasons, is greater than a Mitzvah Shalol L'shma. Greater than a Mitzvah that's done for not the right reasons. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Let's slow down over here. Meaning that, yes, Kavan is very important. That part we got. But v'amar of Yehuda Amarav l'olam yaso gadam b'torv v'mitzvos afilu shalol l'shman. Shemitoch shalol l'shman balushman. So the Gemara says, but meanwhile, we hear this time and again throughout Chas, and that is that learning Torah shalol l'shma, it's not so bad. In other words, because what's going to end up happening is that once you learn Torah shalol l'shma, it's balushma. In other words, eventually what you're going to do is you're going to learn it for the right reasons. So the Gemara is saying, let's not be so hasty to put down a mitzvah that's not done shalol l'shma. I'm sorry, that's done shalol l'shma. Don't be so quick to put it down. So ela'ema ki mitzvah shalol l'shma. So the Gemara says, okay. So small modification over here, and that is that what we're going to do is that we're going to say an avera l'shma, meaning you're doing an avera, but you got the right intentions and your kavanas are good. So you know what we're going to do? We're not going to say mi mitzvah shalol l'shma, but rather ki mitzvah shalol l'shma, meaning it still has value to it. Gemara gives you, says, I'll give you an example of Avera Lishma, and that is that we're going to go to Ya'el. Okay, we just laid this Haftorah. So right, Parshas Beshalach, right, two Shabbosim ago. So Parshas Beshalach. So we read the fourth and fifth parakim of Sefer Shoftim. Sfardim only read the fifth parak of Sefer Shoftim. But either way, this is the fifth parak of Sefer Shoftim. So the pasuk describes Ya'el. So, Tevarach Minashim Ya'el, Eshet Chevra Keni, Minashim Ba'ol Tevarach. So, she's going to be blessed. Better than the women of the tent. Who are the women of the tent? So, Man Nashim Shabal Sarifka Rachavaleya. So, the women of the tent are the Imahos. And she is going to have, she's going to have Bracha more than they. Amr of Yochanan, and here the Gemara tells us, Sheva Be'ilas Balos Arasha, Ba'os Osha. So, Sisra. When fleeing away from Barak and Devara, so he thinks he's going to get harbored by Yael. Yael introduces him, invites him into his tent, and then she ends up putting a peg right through his skull. But before doing that, the pasuk doesn't say this, but our Gemara says it, and that is that she wants to tire him out. How does she tire him out? So they have bia together seven times. How do they get to the number seven? So that's exactly what Rav Yochanan's teaching us. Shenemar bein regleha kara. Nafal, Shachav. Now, Tosfos points out over here, you have to count out the number of times it says either the word Regel, or Nafal, or Shachav, and it says it a total, in other words, in that pasuk, it says it a total of seven times. So she does that in order to tire them out. So now, at that point in time, he's exhausted. The pasuk, by the way, describes she's serving him milk. And that's going to tire him out. But okay, but the pasuk over here is being modest and not being as graphic as we are being right now, right? And you're going to find this all the time, right? The psukim themselves are, right, not as graphic, but meanwhile, the Torah Shebaal Peh over here gives us another layer of what Yael did in order to tire him out. And v'hakam esanyim mi be'ila delay. So the Gemara says, okay, so I understand that Yael had the best of intentions, meaning that she wanted to kill the enemy. I get it. And so in that regard, so she did the Avera, but it was for the Kavanah was for the right reasons, and therefore it's okay. But the Gemara says, but isn't there Hana? Right? Throughout Shas, we hear again and again that when it comes to Arayus, when it comes to Chalavim, so even, right, the even if you didn't have Kavanah, but you have hana, right? In other words, obviously, right, relations in eating. So that is, right, that's biological. We get benefit from it. So how can you tell me that, oh, her kavanas are good, therefore it's okay? What do you mean? There's hana. And then that hana, is the hana really going to, is the kavana really going to override the hana? To which the Gemara says, I wouldn't call this hana. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan again. Kol tovas shav hashem einan ela ra etzel tzadikim. Shenemar, yishamelecha, pen tidaber, im Yaakov mitov adra. So right before the encounter between Lavan and Yaakov, right, Yaakov ran away, Lavan now is chasing him, and the night prior, Akash Baruch Hu meets Lavan in a dream and says, let me help you out over here, right? You'll meet with Yaakov tomorrow, but don't you say a thing. Don't say anything good, don't say anything bad. And now, Bishlam Rav Shapir Ela Tova Milo, Elav Shmamina Tova Sarai Shmamina. So I understand where Akash Baruch Hu warns Lavan, don't say anything bad. That part I get. But don't say anything good, right? Because when it comes to a Russia, there's nothing good that comes out of a Russia. Even the good that comes out of Russia is bad. So the Gemara says same thing by Sisera and Yael. So even though there is Bia and there's Hana, but it's a, he's a Russia, and therefore it doesn't come out good. Okay, now I say the Gemara as if I perfectly understand the Gemara. It's challenging, meaning it still was Bia, and you know, generally speaking. Right, because he's a Rasha, therefore that Bia is not a Hana. I understand the point of the Gemara, but you know, in other words, I'm admitting I don't fully understand. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Right. But. But in other words, right, the Misasik bechalavim, right, the Barayos of bechalavim. So Misasik meaning that it whatever. It, generally speaking, Halacha treats it as a Hana. Okay, but over here it's not, because he's a Rasha. Okay.
He was already defeated, Sisera.
Okay.
What was there to be afraid of him?
Yeah, he's an enemy. Okay. Gufa Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Lolam Yasso Gad Nabatara Mimitzos Afilo Shaloshman, Shemitok Shaloshman, Balashman, Shebishar Abar Mishnaim Karbana Sheikra Balak Arasha, So Zachav Yatsam Iman Arus, the Amar Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanin Arus Bas Beno Shalaglan Melech Moav Haisa. Okay, so two statements back to back regarding even if it's shlo lishma, that's good, right? We said that learning Torah shlo lishma is good because mitok shlo lishma balishma. The Gemara says, I'll give you an example, another example, and that is Balak. So Balak was Melech Moav, and he offered how many karbanos? 42 karbanos. And the meanwhile, all those karbanos, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will reward all those karbanos. Years later, generations later, Rus is a descendant from Moav, and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina contributes to this discussion. She was Bas Benosha Eglon Melech Moav Haisa. She was the granddaughter of Eglon. So Eglon was Melech Moav in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. So we learned about the death of Eglon, but before he died, so before he was killed, so obviously he had progeny, and eventually Rus comes from there. So okay, so the point over here is that. That when you do something, if it's a mitzvah, even though you did not have the best of intentions. And it, by the way, it's so interesting because Balak over here, right? The Gemara makes it sound like he didn't have the best of intentions. just the opposite. Meaning it's more than that. In other words, the whole purpose of him bringing karbanos is so that, that Bilam would successfully curse the Jews. Right? It seems to be a little bit further away than just simply saying learning Torah Shalal Lishma. Right, learning Torah Shalal Lishma. So okay, so you right over here, he's offering karbanos so that he could curse the Jewish people. It's on the spectrum of kavana. It sounds like it's not neutral; it's negative. But still, the Gemara says, but there's value to doing mitzvahs. And over here, you're doing a mitzvah, even if your intention is not the best. Akash Baruch Hu notes and rewards. I'm Rabbi Cheber. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Minayin Shein. Akash Baruch Hu mekapech afilu schar sicha na'eh. So the Gemara says, Akash Baruch Hu, so as far as Chayv Onish is concerned, everything is accounted for. Everything. Even a nice comment is accounted for. De'ilu bechira, and by the way, the Gemara is going back to the episode of Lot. De'ilu bechira, de'krisa Moav, amalei rechman al teitzars Moav, al titkar ba milchama. The milchama hu delo, avat zu'uri tza'arinan. So the look, we're not allowed to start a war with Moab, but can we pester them a little bit? A little bit of stress and anxiety? Can we inflict on Moab? Sure, we can. And Ve'ilu Atzira, when it comes to the younger daughter, Dikarisa Ben Ami. In other words, the naming of the child by the younger was a much more modest name. Meaning the first daughter named the child Moav Me'av, broadcasting to the world, hey, you know who the father is? My father. Okay. And so, but meanwhile, the second daughter was more modest. So Amalei Al Titzarim Val Titgarbam, Afil Tzu'ur Lo Titzarim Klal. So in other words, when it comes to our national relationship with Amon, so over there, in other words, we have to be at total peace and total rest. In other words, we're not even allowed to pester them. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin, I'm Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karchel Olam, Yaktim Adam L'Dvar Mitzvah, Shebizchar Laila Acha, Shekadmasa, Bechir L'Tzi'ira. Now this Gemara over here is going to be admittedly a little bit confusing because we just noted that in terms of naming the child, so winner goes to the second daughter. Ah, that's true. But in terms of who initiated, well, obviously the first daughter initiated. And for her initiation, she's going to be rewarded. Kadma arba doros b'Yisrael l'malchus. So as a result of that, what happens? And that is that her progeny were introduced into the Jewish people four generations earlier. Meaning that the older daughter, Moav is a product of the older daughter. Moav now is a progenitor of Rus. Rus now is going to be four generations before the eventual progeny of Amon. Amon created Naama, a convert from the nation of Amon, and Rechavam was a product of Naama HaAmonis. Now Rechavam is four generations after Rus. So so basically, because the older daughter was the one who initiated the act, and again, as we discussed already today, it was L'shem Mitzvah. So as a result of that, so her progeny was introduced into the Jewish people four generations earlier. Okay, good. Adkan takes us to the end of today's daf. Okay, in summary, by the way, in other words, there really is one singular point in today's daf. I admit, by the way, and it's right, it's relaxing. It's a quote unquote a lighter daf today. All right, a lot of it got into today, but the point of today is kavana, and that your kavana becomes very critical. And we went in both directions, by the way. Kavana l'shem mitzvah and kavana shelo l'shem mitzvah. Kavana l'aveira. And so the critical nature of kavana, and Kadosh Baruch Hu takes not only actions into account, but also intention as well.